before I get going on five things, I had a look back through some of the Jerry Seinfeld. Who likes Jerry? Who thinks he's funny? So everyone that's over 50 likes him. Anyway, he says, you can tell what was the best year of your father's life because they seem to freeze that clothing style and ride it out. I like this one. This is probably my favourite. Of all the sayings I've looked at Father's Day, I gave my father $100 and said, buy yourself something that will make your life easier. So he went out and bought a present for my mother. he thinks that's smart. funny. All right, so these five things that make a great dad. Who's a dad here? Give me a wave. Granddads. Fantastic, quite a lot of you. This will be good. So whether you're 18 or 80, this message will have relevance for your life today. And if you're a lady here today, it will have relevance for you because I've made sure that it all kind of works. Well, I hope so anyway. So the first one is protector. Turn to your neighbour, and especially if you're next to a dad, say, you've got to be a protector. You see, a father will be a protector. That's a small umbrella. Did you find that? Psalm 51, but whatever verse it is, 11, I think, ESV. I'm using the English. I thought I'd mix it up. But let all those who take refuge in you rejoice. Who's glad that they can rejoice in their Lord today? Let them ever sing for joy, who knows that our God is a great Father. And spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. So a good father is going to, there's other verses, there's some in Ephesians that talk about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a lot of love. And it all gets back to that fathers have a duty, especially godly fathers, to be protectors. So a good father is concerned about your well-being and he will look out for you. It may even get on your nerves at times how much that he looks out for you. I think that Amber and Jared are probably a little bit like that with me at the moment because I go around and make sure that I'm looking out for their house that's under construction and I send them funny little, well, I think they're funny, little videos and I get little texts back and I just get, thank you for going and checking on your house, and then the next day, thank you for going and checking on, but that's what dads are. They're protectors. They want to make sure that they're doing the right thing by their children and they're looking out for those that he's given them. And so God has given him a family and everything that you gave me, we should be able to say at the end of our life, that everything that you've given me, Lord, I've kept safe and prospering to the best of my ability. Not just about money, we'll get to that in a minute. So a father is a protector against an enemy. He's a protector against fraud. He's a protector against stresses and hardships. A good father will deal with stuff in his own life in order to keep you protected. He will take on struggles, and there will be things in every dad's life that where if the father is not there, then suddenly there's all this amount of pressure on, because a dad adds significantly to a family. And so this is a really key thing that in many places, the Bible also says, of course, that a father is to be the head of the home. And so the stuff always hits him first. Many places around the world, and even here in Frio, and in Perth, there are storm walls. And what does a storm wall do? It protects. Because behind that storm wall, there is peace, there is tranquility. Dad's looking out for so that you are staying safe, so that you are protected. And so I love this, Elijah and Elisha. It's in 2 Kings. I think it's chapter 2. And Elijah kept saying to Elisha, his junior, Elijah's like the spiritual dad, and then there's Elisha who's been growing up, learning all he can from Elijah. And Elijah says, "Stay here, please," to Elisha. And Elisha says, "No, no, wherever you go, I go. I want to stay under your shadow as long as I can. As long as you live," he goes on, "I will not leave you." And eventually, a chariot of fire comes and takes Elijah up to heaven. He's one of the guys that doesn't die, naturally, in the Bible. And Elisha does something really smart. He goes, "Oh, Father, Father," and he's quite obviously, he's grieving. But then he does a really smart thing. He goes and grabs the cloak, if you like, the mantle of Elijah, and miracles start to be performed. As he'd seen his father perform miracles, he started to perform miracles through the power of God in his life. And so one of the greatest things we can give our kids is that mantle of protection and authority to be the kind of men that God's made us to be. Amen? Amen. Let's give our men a hand right there. So a father's a great protector. A father's a great provider. 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So this is about more than money. It's an attitude. A father will provide financially, but he will also provide wisdom, friendship, counsel, camaraderie. He will bring perspective. He'll bring insight. And a father will have a giving spirit. A father adds to your life. Your life is richer and fuller because he's in it. And for those of us that don't have a father that's been like this, I'm talking about godly fathers according to the Bible, but aren't we grateful that every one of us has a father in heaven who loves us and sent his son to die for us? And because he has done that, we can all say, "Father, Father," like, if you like, mimic what Elisha said to Elijah, and that we can have the protection where he can provide for us. He does everything for us the same. And so, and then the benefit of having a church is that we can all help one another. And men, we're not only to help our family, if we're in the house of God, we're to help others' families as well. We have a part of our DNA is to be providers where we can and generous where we can to others, particularly in the house of God and those outside it as well. And so our life is richer and fuller because Dad's in it. And it's not so much about what he makes, rather that he's providing. And so a good father is going to be a fantastic contributor to the family, and he's going to be a giver. Dads, be a giver. I have I've known him for quite a number of years because I've been going to the same gymnasium up the road. Hope this doesn't get taped. Maybe stop it just in case. But I don't think he'd watch. He's not that kind of guy, but you never know. But he's been in the... You end up a very lonely person. And so men are providers. And one of the names of God is actually Jehovah Jireh. Our Father will provide. Marriages are going to work, families are going to work, because the man is going to help provide for his family. Thirdly, be a promoter. Dads, be a promoter. Say it with me, be a promoter. All right, Luke 3:22. Jesus also had been baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, and a voice from heaven came, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." With you I am well pleased. So fathers are promoters. Now, if God the Father is promoting Jesus, do you think that perhaps we should be promoting our children at the very least? And promoting everyone we can. And so they promote others to make them look good. When Jesus himself was baptized and the heavens are open, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. And so a father is going to be the best and proudest promoter of his kids. Now, no one I know does this better than a friend of mine called John Finkelde. And because I'm good mates with Pastor John Finkelde, and before he handed over his church, nearly every week there was a sermon about his children and his kids and how much he loved them and how much he enjoyed them, to the point where I was going, do we have to have another story about your children? And because we're mates, you know, I mean, it's great, but, you know, is there any other stories you've got? But there's something in it too. The other day, I had a phone call from our overseer, well, my particular overseer, my C3 overseer, and he started to say all the attributes and I wasn't expecting it, all the attributes he liked about me personally. And, you know, I thought, what a great spiritual dad. He's about the same age as me, but what a great spiritual dad. That's actually encouraging I was admitting I had a few things wrong with me, but he's going, no, but you do this, 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 and this. Isn't that what dad should be? You know, the world has enough malicious people in it. Enough mockers and haters. Let's encourage and not pull down. Take lesson from God the Father. I'm well pleased with you. I accept you, I love you, and I'm well pleased with you. So we've got protect, provide, promoter. I like this one, priest. Every father should be a priest. All right, so this is a general one for all of us because we should all be priests. However, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And so a father should be a priest. The man was priest over his home in the Bible. Interesting story, Noah, in the flood, when the flood happened and the water started to recede, one of the first things he did once it was dry enough, as he sent the birds out, and the bird didn't come back. One of the very first things he did as he takes the animals off was make an offering to God. He built an altar and he made an offering to God and thanked God for his life and the restart of human habitation as it was. And God said to him, what a soothing aroma I can smell. And he made this commitment to Noah. And who knows, we've got a rainbow in the sky, which is that we'll never have a flood that will destroy the earth again. And he says, we will have summertime and harvest from now on. We will have winter. We will have all the seasons because I have seen your sacrifice. Don't underestimate what we can be as dads. And so Noah's praying all these prayers at the altar. It's good to come to church and pray to God. It's good to pray at home as well for your families and as a protector and as a provider and all those areas. But men don't pray like women. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. Oh, this is a woman. Oh, dear Jesus, don't you know what's happening right now in my life? Oh, these things are going terribly wrong. Oh, God, please. You know that he's just being such a bad man right now. And all this stuff is going down. Men just go, I need $500 and I need it by Thursday, God. But who? It's not about the length of prayer. It's about our relationship with him. And men are going to pray and God's going to hear them. So don't worry about how you pray, men. Just pray. And if you can only come up with a few sentences or a sentence or a few words, pray those, God hears. God's got you. No one's, there's no like, you know, okay, well, my Father which art in heaven, there's prayers that we can learn. But when we've got a need, we can cry out to God and he'll hear us. I want every man, it says in Timothy, to lift up holy hands and pray. When trouble comes, men should be going to war for their families. When I have trouble, my daughter was particularly knows this, she doesn't ask my wife to pray, she always asks Dad to pray. Now, that's not that Andrea can't pray, but she likes me to pray. And it's always been the case. And, you know, when there's something really that's going down in her life, in fact, she's done it recently, and she's called me on the phone, Dad, can you pray? And I'll just pray, and it's not a long prayer. It's kind of like, but I'm determined. Lord, break through for Sarah. I'm like, I mean it. I'm meaning business. You know? And it's done. And I thank you, Lord. Amen. Talk to you whenever I talk to you again. And that's pretty much it. So yeah, here's your mother. Because, you know, all that meaningful stuff comes next. Okay, so the greatest struggle every man faces is his sins. Now look, before we finish up, let me say this. However, it is not those sins that are your biggest problems. It's your lack of prayer. Look at this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, anyone called by his name today, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. If my people are called by name and will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Your sins are not the problem. Your lack of relationship with God is the real issue. God is saying, pray. Men, can we pray? Men, can we pray? Thank you. When we pray, God deals with the weaknesses in our own life. And so when I pray for my kids, I'm not their pastor. And it's difficult because I'm a pastor. And my son and Amber are with me. And so, but I try to be dad. And so I think in that we need to be loving, but we also need to know that there's a power that comes from heaven that's on us because we're the head. There are things that we mean business with God at that God has got for us to do specifically to break through for our kids and for our families and even extended families in the church. And so men are fighters. Turn to your neighbour and say, fight. Men are fighters. Lastly, prophet. A good father is a prophet. He tells them what they can be and what they can do. Whatever their predicament may be, and it may not be good. Who knows that sometimes our kids or whatever, this stuff goes down. But every good father is going to be speaking destiny. You might be in this situation right now, but I know that God's going to do this, this, and this. It's only a season, it's going to pass. This is not the end of your life. You're going to get up and you are going to get through this. You are going to see success at the end of this struggle in your life. You are a winner. You're not going to lose. Whatever it is, you've got to speak over your kids. You've got to actually speak and say, I thank you, Lord, for my children, and I thank you, Lord, that you're making them something great. Because if you don't do it, then the devil's going to get a hold of them and there's going to be no way forward. So we've got to, at least as dads, be those protectors, be those providers. We've got to be those promoters. We've got to be priests, and we have to be those kind of people that are prophets to our, especially to our kids. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, and it's about Jacob and Rachel. And Rachel's actually about to give birth to her last child, and she's dying. This is before Jacob becomes Israel, named as Israel. And she, in her struggle in childbirth, as she's dying, calls out and calls the child Benoni, which means child of my sorrow. Jacob immediately turns and says, this child will be Benjamin, child of my strength. Rachel dies. Guess what comes from Benjamin's line? The kings of Israel. Just because Jacob took authority and said, no, he will not be a man of my sorrow. He will not be that kind of a man. He's going to be a man of my strength. Can we stand to our feet this morning, church? Father, I pray, let's come on. If you're a dad here, why don't you lift up your hands right now? I'm going to ask the music team to come. If you're a man here, why don't you lift your hands too? Fathers are to be protectors, providers, promoters, priests, and prophets. And Lord, today, I pray that we would be these kind of men, that we would take authority in our households. Father, we thank you that we can speak life. And Father, we will not speak death, because we have you and you're a giver of life. And maybe you're here today and you haven't received Jesus as Lord of your life. Is everyone standing here in prayer? I would like to pray a prayer. And at the end of the prayer, if you've not prayed this and done this publicly, I'd ask you to raise your hand and I'll see it and you can pop it down again. Or maybe you know you're out of relationship with God. Maybe you're a dad here today, or a woman here today, and you're out of relationship with God. Make right today. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Come into my heart right now. I turn away from my sin, my wrongdoing. I look to you. I thank you for what you have done on the cross. I receive forgiveness. Doesn't matter my past, it matters what I do from this time forward. And I commit to you, Lord Jesus. Amen.